Hey listeners, this is your host, Brother X. I've come to you guys before today's episode, and I wanted to just make sure I put the disclaimer out here. Nothing crazy happened in today's episode, but I want to make sure that it's clear that all views and opinions that are expressed in this week's discussion are of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or thoughts of the Truth and Transparency podcast. With that being said, guys, let's get started with today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the Cultured Scientist.
Okay, Tia Mowry. All right, and here on the Truth and
Transparency, a wonderful compliment.
That's why I said it. Look what I did there. All right, and and here on the Truth and Transparency podcast, we talk about everything in between, and we talk about an open and honest faction. And listeners, we just thank you so much for joining us on another episode today. We are so grateful that we have now reached over 2,500 plays across all podcasting platforms. Shout out to us, insert air horns, we got a little bit in the budget this year. All right, but yeah, man, we're just there. Please continue to support all the latest episodes. Please also be on the lookout. By the time you are listening to this, it will have already dropped, but the two main hosts from the podcast is actually on an interview for an amazement event that just happened here in the Raleigh-Durham area. So definitely be on the lookout for that. But let me stop talking about myself. Let me go ahead and introduce all of our guests. We are returning for part two of this conversation. We have, I don't want to give you a no nickname because I'm so disrespected by that image in the background. Quincy, introduce yourself.
You don't like my cow?
No, your cow likes... You know what? I can't even do this.
My cow got the strength of the Black Panther.
He got the strength of Nancy Pelosi kneeling down.
That's a good one, though.
I'm gonna give you that.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you that. Anyway, it's your girl, Queasy, back again. 61 and a half inches of fluffy fun and just ready to have a good time and continue the discussion from last week.
All right. And my cousin, who goes to the illustrious, the only HU, the Hampton University Pirates. My What's cousin up? Sheree, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. How are y'all?
Well. Glad to have you back for part two of this, man. And the man that run faster when he hear about a crab ball than anyone else that I know, Mr. Smith himself. My man run like the Flash on his shirt.
He ran like Naruto.
Okay.
Got that no. You smell Old Bay in the sky.
Interview that we just did.
Oh my
god. I had no comeback for that. That was a good one. I'm gonna give you that.
Sorry, because it was on the previous conversation we just had. We were literally talking about the kids not being weird. It's not normal to run down the hallway.
Like, it's not normal to run with your head. That's what first graders do.
Yeah. Anywho, it's your favorite.
You reminiscing, Mr. Smith, about when you were in first grade?
We not going to go there. Not with my big ass head.
I've had it in first grade.
Anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. A few quick things. Number one, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. Go check them out. Links will be in the description below for when me and Brother X did an episode with them, and hopefully we'll get with them in the near future. Secondly, Russia banning 963 Americans from entering the country. And, you know, they have the President Joe Biden, Secretary of State, and Morgan Freeman.
Right? Like, why? Go ahead.
I was going to say, how you going to ban a man that played God twice?
That's
His voice is so powerful. He can basically break your barriers. What are you doing?
My man has had the voice of a 70-year-old since he was 5 years old.
I mean,
Ever since I was a child, everyone loved the sound of my voice. Looking at us.
Oh, wow. Anywho, and then the last thing. Nabisco, couch of days. Why in the hell do you have a hybrid cookie cracker, whatever, that is one half Oreo with the cream filling and one half peanut butter Ritz?
Jesus Christ.
What? No. Get him out of here. I don't want it.
All right, man. And now that we've gotten that out the way, man, just thank you guys for all the support. Before we get any further into this episode, we want to first go ahead and get into our next segment, which is Mrs. Smith Sports Center.
Yes. So this one's going to be pretty quick. Again, nothing but just NBA going on. Brother X's Warriors whooping the Mavs ass this entire series. I mean, it doesn't help the fact that Luka is dropping like 40 points a game and he's not getting any help from his teammates. And then this past game, he dropped.
Oh, you mean 30. LA Fitness? LA Fitness Body?
Hey. LA Fitness Body dropping 40 a game.
That's fine. He going to smoke hookah in the back during the halftime.
And he's still going to give you 50. That's fine. What you say? As long as we get a dub at the end, I don't care.
Talk about it.
Miami and Boston, that is a dogfight. I think they're playing, as of this recording, I believe they're getting ready to do game 5 now. So definitely going to be checking that out. And then the last thing. Nick Saban.
Oh, boy.
Let's get into it.
So, as if anybody is into sports, they know that as of maybe like the last year or two, college has allowed the players to be able to market their likeness and person and face and everything for deals, also called as the NIL deals and NIL deals. So, a lot of players are getting like $1 million contracts, for which was unprecedented during even my time in college. So Nick Saban, who is the head coach of the Alabama Roll Tide, decided to go on a speaking engagement and had this to say.
We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it.
So, if you don't know, Jackson State is an HBCU, head coached by the great Deion Primetime Sanders. And the player that he is probably talking about is the number two recruit in the country, Travis Hunter, that ended up not picking any of the top schools to go to Jackson State. Now, everybody on this podcast, this is great, is an HBCU either student or alum. And we all know HBCUs ain't got no $1 million to be able to give out to players. Hell, they don't even got it to give out to the damn coach.
Talk about it.
You know, Uncle Shannon Sharp, a.k.a. Club Shay Shay, you know he going to give you one. And yeah, he had this to say.
So you mean to tell me the man designed more 4 and 5-star recruits that everybody went there because they love Alabama? These kids coming from California, ain't never been to the country in their damn life, want to go to Alabama. Number one kid in the country goes to an HBCU and not everybody lost their mind. We got to do something about the NIL. It wasn't no problem before. Only when we decided we want to patronize us, it's a problem. Coach Saban, you wrong for this. You dry snitching. Ain't nobody ask you nothing. Worry about your program. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, my granny ain't had it like that. And if I could have got an NIL deal, Skip, I'm going somewhere to go get granny up out that little shack. You got that one. That's where I'm going. And the lights going to be on all the time. The phone's going to be on all the time. And we not going to be eating roadkill. We're going to be eating good. Granny, we get steak tonight.
So, he has a really valid point. And I want to make sure this is clear. This is no disrespect to the state of you know, Alabama, but what the hell do y'all have to do out there besides football? Why would anybody come up from Hawaii, California, all these different states that might have better, I would say, living and opportunity conditions for students? Why would people pass that up to go to Alabama if not for the money that they would have made that was bigger than any other school in the country? Hell,
Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
To answer your question, if I'm
sure, sure.
To find their long distance cousin and, you know, consummate their reunion.
Wow.
Continue. Wow.
On your own podcast, you bring up incest. This is what we're doing.
I didn't say that. You said that. I said consummate the reunion.
But you implied it.
Where your mind went is on you. The thoughts and opinions of our guests do not
consummate mean to you.
When your mind went there, that is on you. The thoughts and opinions of the guests on the Truth and Transparency podcast do not reflect the host. Or the co-host.
Yes, it does. You don't tell me what you think the word consummate means.
We're not going to talk about this right now.
Right.
This is Sports Center. This is not technology.
Yeah. So just to finish off, I mean, they said it right. You had a guy, Tua. I will not say his last name because I will butcher. I'm glad you could do it because I sure the hell couldn't. He plays for the Miami Dolphins. This man came from Hawaii to play for Alabama Crimson Tide. Look at Alabama. Look at Hawaii. It don't compute. So, Nick, this is exactly what I had said a long time ago. When you put the power back into the hands of the players, and especially when you have people that are willing to mentor and coach and go back to where we are celebrated, HBCUs alike, i.e. Deion Sanders and Terrell Owens and the like, you will see the power shift back into our hands. Because think about it this way. When you look at College Saturday, a good number of those teams are all Black players. If you take the same Black players and put them in HBCUs and then play, and those teams have nothing but just, you know, white players, not to say that the white players can't play, but you will see a big difference in the power rankings. But that's all I have to say. And that's it for Mr. Smith Sports Center.
Been in it. That's all we got. That's all we have in the budget for. All right. So now we're actually going to go into our next segment, which is Culture Scientist Streaming. After I got booted from the segment, unfortunately, and very rudely, because I wanted to talk about my one show. God forbid I'm streaming something. Culture Scientist, do you have something this week to talk about?
I do have something this week, and you were not muted, and I don't care if you talk about it. However, this week, I would like to talk about Downton Abbey, probably again. I probably mentioned it previously, but this week I'm talking about it again. If you have not heard about Downton Abbey is a period piece that follows the luxurious lives of the Crawley family, a fictional aristocrat set in 20th century England. Although this is not based on any particular true story, Downton Abbey is meant to be historically accurate as possible, and it starts when the Titanic goes down and all this good stuff. If you are into British shows and things like that, this will make you want to finish talking with accents and everything. And if you are a servant or if you are above. And then the most important thing is if you are a true lover, you can check out the new movie to wet your whistle to fulfill the closing of what happens to them. There is a movie out. It's great. Wonderful.
Yes. All right. So thank you for that, Culture Scientist. Maybe one day I'll be able to get back in your segment, but we're not talking about that. But on a serious note, switch it up real quick. I don't know where this is going to go, but Mr. Smith, make sure you rein me in on this, or we cut it if it gets too far off left. But we do want to take time. At the time of this recording, it has been a little bit over 24 hours since the egregious and heartbreaking event, shooting, massacre, terrorist attack on the elementary school at Uvalde. I apologize if I say that wrong, and I really wish I could say it correctly, and maybe we can correct it in post. but the shooting that happened at the middle school, and I'm gonna try to get through this as best I can as a elementary school educator. My feelings are a lot of things for this situation. First and foremost, I pray for peace that goes beyond all understanding for the families of these children and for the teachers and all the adults that are involved, that are their lives were taken, as the numbers seemingly seem to increase. I remember the other day, it was like, I think 18 and like two adults or something along those lines. It's up to 19 children and like three adults. It's just so crazy with these numbers. And I do apologize if it's not a one-to-one description, but one of my biggest fears as an educator, whether we have a lockdown drill, whether we have a fire drill, whether I see any kid that's having a bad day as an educator or something happen to those kids, unless as they get on my ever-loving nerve, I love them to death. That's why I got into education. It brings me to tears thinking about, God forbid, this was me or my school or my students. Or when I have children, this is my child. Like, I tell my teachers all the time, my goal is to give you back your child the way that you brought them to me, in good or if not better condition. And I know it is tough, not only for these people who went through it directly, but for the administrators, the people who are supposed to be responsible for keeping their child safe, to have to tell a parent that your child was one of the victims. The fact that these children's parents had to do DNA swabs for DNA in order to identify the bodies to know where their child, because they were so massacred. Fuck the shooter. Fuck him.
Fuck the reasons why he did it.
I don't care. Because that's not going to bring that child back.
You have some mental illness.
It's not No. Like, fuck that. Like, there's mental illness.
It's just horror.
And then there is straight up villainy. Straight up horror. You have a vendetta against other people. I don't care what your reasoning is. A fourth grader cannot do something to an 18-year-old that will cause you to feel that way, that you're going to shoot up a school, an elementary school. That has nothing to do with you. God need to work on me, because there ain't no excuse for why this happened. I don't care if it was at an elementary school. I don't care if it's at a church. I don't care wherever it's at. You do not have the right to take someone else's life for whatever reason, in my opinion. And this is Brother X talking. It's never okay. We can have the conversations and debates, but they're on deaf ears, just like it's on deaf ears about people who don't want to make changes. It's on deaf ears to me right now. Miss me with that bullshit talking about, oh, well, we need to prosecute the person who the shooters and all that stuff. Sir, if you really want to prosecute them, why are they getting off scot-free? Why aren't they still riding under the jail? Why aren't they being punished at all? Why is Dylan Roof from South Carolina getting taken to fucking fast food to get food because he's hungry after shooting up a church?
Once again, it's the second week in a row, we are talking about some type of shooting, some type of massacre. And unfortunately, it does not fall on deaf ears, but it just is very, very tiresome. And when is some change going to happen?
Because I'm tired of this cycle. Outrage, horror, people got their talking points. Nothing changes. It dies down. A few weeks later, it's the same fucking thing. Again, it's not even months. It's not even years. It is literally weeks where we're seeing it. And if I see one more person talk about the bullshit comparison of Chicago to these mass murders, Mr. Smith, bleep this. I'm a and I don't care what nobody cares about. And if you worried about who said it, I said it. Come see me about it. Because you saw, you weak. I don't care what you think. I'll open up to our guests briefly, but I don't want to give it, I want to give us time to honor those who have passed, but I also don't want to take away from our other discussion today. Mr. Smith?
So for me, it's quickly, like you said, it's 19 children who were 2 days away from getting ready to go for summer vacation, like for months. These kids are probably planning out, oh, I'm going to go play outside with this friend and that friend. And they lost their lives senselessly to somebody who owned, again, an NRA, I'm talking to you, an AR-15 that was not necessary. And don't say AR-15 is needed to be used for hunting, because it's not. No one needs to have that outside of the National Guard. There's no point in there's no point in having them. They need to be rescinded. They need to be taken away. And I said that. And the last thing I'll say to that is Sandy Hook was almost 10 years ago. Literally in December, it'll be 10 years. Columbine was 23 years ago. 23 years ago, and we are still having the same fucking conversation. And yes, when those times happen, everybody said, oh, let's start the conversation. Because when you start the conversation, you start to make change. We're tired. There's no more conversation. If you ain't gonna act, Mitch, aka Bitch McConnell, and anybody else that's standing in the way of the NRA. If you ain't about that life or that action, step down. If you are not about that life, if you cannot look at the fact that as Brother X stated, parents had to swab to identify their children who, again, and it's you talking about you want to parent women's bodies to have these kids, yet you will not give them the formula for them to feed the kids, yeah. And you will not protect them in order for them to avoid these types of shootings. Do not say you're going to convict the shooter, because you don't. And how do you convict the shooter that's dead? Do not say, oh, we're going to talk about it, because you won't. Either enact the legislation or get the hell out the way.
Hold on. It's either Senator or whoever the fuck, Abbott for Texas. You're talking about all this stuff on social media, making these statements. But tell me where you're going this upcoming weekend. A fucking NRA convention.
That's all.
Let that, your actions be way louder than any bullshit words you put on social media. So unless anyone else has something they would like to add on to it, Queen C.
Yeah, I'm going to make this quick because y'all know I help take care of all my little nieces and nephews. And I am a custodial guardian of a fourth grader. So that was my first thought when I heard about it. And these babies were celebrating. They were 2 days away from vacation. They were having an award ceremony. They had just, you know, gotten their certificates of achievements. Parents were there happy, not realizing that for 19 families, that was the last time they saw their baby. We normally don't give too many kudos to the police on this podcast. But I'm going to give kudos to the cop that killed him. I'm tired of the media saying that the shooter is also counted in the victim toll. He's not a victim. He was a perpetrator. He got what he deserved. In the words of Samuel L. Jackson, yes, he deserved to die. And I hope he burns in hell. That's all I got to say.
Tree, unless you have some, I think we pretty much kind of touched on things, man. It's just so much, and those who think some of the stuff that we're saying is harsh, please understand our hearts. They're broken for these families. We try to speak for those who don't have a voice, and we try to use whatever platform we have to try to make change. And we may not be able to ones to change the laws, but we damn sure are going to try to take care of those around us of our community to try to make sure they have a better way of life and try to leave this place maybe a smidget better than what was left to us or what's being left to them. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Cue music right here. Everybody take a deep breath. All right. Now we're back with our next segment, which is Now Mind You. Now Mind You is a segment where we talk about things in the that happened in the news that we use the term Now Mind You in the Black vernacular to talk about very interesting stories that you find very key or vital to your day. So first and foremost, shout out to Queen C for sending us this story. Where do we begin? Coach of Scientist, can you please read that?
Officer motorboarded subordinate at promotion ceremony retires after a guilty plea.
Mrs. Mill, can you scroll down just a little bit so she can read the rest?
A former Louisiana National Guard officer was allowed to retire after a general court-martial convicted him of charges stemming from motorboarding a subordinate soldier. Motorboating.
There you go.
A subordinate soldier during an informal promotion ceremony while deployed to Jordan in May 2021, Army Times has confirmed. Captain Billy Joe Crosby Jr., a logistics officer, was overseas with the 256th Infantry Brigade Combat Team during its recent deployment, was initially charged with abusive sexual contact and conduct of unbecoming of his officer. According to the court records obtained by the Army, Crosby was the officer in charge of this outpost in Jordan. Now, I saw this like a week ago and some change. Mm. You scroll, because I hope it says his response, because his response was stupid. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. It basically says his actions were not of the Army, and this is why they took discharge. At some point they asked him, and he basically said what he did wasn't wrong. Like, that was the takeaway. And I was like, really? You lost your entire job, sir. It's not wrong to you. Just saying. Okay, so it says the junior soldier told Crosby the day before the assault that she did not want a promotion ceremony, but during work the following day, according to prosecution motions, Crosby approached the junior soldier, told her to stand up, placed the rank in front of her chest, leaned in and grabbed the rank with his teeth, then placed his face between the soldier's breasts and vigorously moved his head from side to side between the breasts while holding the rank between his teeth. It is not clear when the crime was reported, nor is it clear who reported it, but court documents indicated that agents from the Army's Criminal Investigation Division were interviewing witnesses within 2 weeks of the incident. Crosby, who initially declared he would plead not guilty, changed his plea after negotiating the deal that reduced the charges and protected his retirement. Of course he wanted to protect his retirement. The removal of the abusive sexual contact charge, which was dismissed as a part of the deal, also meant that he did not have to register as a sexual offender.
Okay. Or if you don't go somewhere with your bum ass.
So my two cents is, number one, you have absolutely no right to put your, first off, she is your employee, okay? That's first off. But you came into somebody else's space and violated this person. And then you still got off. This sounds like something that happened, I'm not going to mention that, but people got fired, but the person is still making money off his retirement. That's what this sounds like. Like, you did these bad things and you're still getting paid. This is not okay. He should not get his retirement should not have been protected. But because he is a white old man, his retirement is going to be protected, and that is my humble opinion.
Like, it's ridiculous that even happened. Like, I still remember there's a story, different circumstances, but there's a story of a black, not sorry, not even a black man, an employee at a company told his employers that he did not win a birthday celebration because it gave him anxiety, severe anxiety, where he was have a panic attack. They proceeded to, on the day of his birthday, still throw him a birthday party where he had a panic attack, where he had to leave work. And then they're getting all huffy and puffy, says, well, you're not being a team player because you didn't want to have a like birthday celebration. I'm sorry, what? I tell you, I have an actual mental illness, or I struggle with this. And that if this if A happens plus B is going to equal C, me having a panic attack, why would you do that? And rightfully so, he sued the company for six figures and won the suit. I need for you to actually listen to people when they're talking to you. When you're an authority figure, that does not mean that you can do what you want, although the Agent Orange will tell you otherwise. But please understand, you're going to learn one way or another. And God forbid, if she decided she wanted to strike this man in the face because he did that, she would be in the wrong as a lower level officer. That's some bullshit. Mr. Smith?
So the thing that's crazy about all this is the fact that this was premeditated. In the actual article, it said that Crosby reportedly announced to the junior soldier twice that he intended to motorboat her during her promotion because the uniform's chest plate rank patch was intended for such actions. Boy, if you don't get your... And then afterwards, weeks before the assault, Crosby also told the NCO that he wanted to bring that same soldier with him on a driving trip to another base because he likes looking at her tits. First of all, who the hell says that?
Right. You still got your retirement.
Secondly, as in, like the culture scientist said, because he is of the Caucasus Mountains, he was able to not only avoid being a registering as a sex offender, but it also took the fact that his maximum confinement could have been 4 months, and they only gave him a month. And we're like, wait, so he premeditatedly motorboated a junior officer that didn't want to touch him, that didn't want him to touch her, that didn't want a promotion ceremony. Like, she felt, you know, I'm sure she was very, you know, trying to figure out how to best traverse the situation without bringing any, because she knows anything that she does that is out loud, as I'll say, would come back on her. So she's trying to find the best way to get her promotion and keep it pushing. And this man was able to still do what he wanted to do. People, this is exactly what we were talking about with the Roe v. Wade shit. This is exactly what we're talking about with anything that white people do. They can literally do whatever they want and get away with it. And I'm sure somebody would just say, oh, let me kick a couple bands to you and we'll just wipe it under the table. Can you wipe away the fact that that woman, how about what the woman feel like? Mm-hmm. I'm sure she is embarrassed. I'm sure she is mortified. I'm sure she is humiliated. I'm sure she is self-conscious going forward. That is mental. That is going to be some therapy for some years just to get that image out of her head. But all this guy thinks about is, I want to protect my retirement. All right, your retirement is my right and left hands. You want the one before the retirement or after? Pick one.
Right. Any other thoughts, Sheree or anybody? Yeah, go ahead, Sheree.
Where's the people that are supposed to stand up for her? You know, I'm pretty sure she didn't just go through this alone. Like, where's the people that's supposed to support her or, you know, say like, hey, this is wrong, yada, yada, yada. Like, where were they?
Either too chicken shit to stand up for it or too terrified of losing their job or being attacked or putting under someone else's thumb because of it. Honestly, that happens a lot of times when you deal with these power dynamics where people are put in a position of power that have no business being there, like having power, but don't know how to actually use it correctly. They use it to intimidate, to coerce them into doing things they wouldn't normally do. That's why you see in some of these cases where there's a celebrity and you have this non-celebrity victim of sexual assault or sexual harassment, and you get, and their name, and the people who are assaulted get their name dragged through the mud. And ends up, because the other person has more money and more clout, they get away with it. That's honestly what happens a lot of times, at least in my opinion. Quincy, did you have anything?
Yeah, because first off, like Mr. Smith said, this was premeditated weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't blow the whistle till after the action was already done. So I'm with Cherie on that fact of where's the accountability of the people who heard him say this, not once, but twice, to, you know, act in a preventive manner.
Right.
Also, going off of what culture scientists said, you know, old white man, well-established within his job, did wrong, but let's protect his retirement because he still has a family to take care of. Okay, what about the mental health of the soldier he just sexually assaulted? Because if he did it to her, he's probably done it previously to other soldiers who hadn't said anything and will probably do it in the future because that's a part of his character. Mm-hmm. So typically in these instances, we'll say, y'all know our word on this podcast is nervedacity. Somebody had the nervedacity to do something. This man is beyond that. Because you spoke on it several times. You premeditated it. You spoke about it so often that you basically forced the junior officer to say, you know what, that's all right, I don't need the ceremony, to try to prevent herself from being publicly embarrassed, and still did it anyway. He is beyond the nervedacity, the audacity. This right here is the unmitigated gall-dacity of old right-wing white men.
I think we got a new word for the book, Mrs. Smith. We're just gonna put that on. We're gonna put that in the rafters.
That's what this is, the unmitigated gall-dacity. And he should have had to register as a sex offender, and he should have been dishonorably discharged. There was no honor in his action. But let's save his retirement check, okay?
But I think we've given that this man no air space on these things, and I know we're kind of in a negative headspace. But we're going to go ahead and go a little bit further. Mr. Smith, can you pull up the picture? So, listeners, we're not even in the month yet, but help me understand. The Kev on stage decided to talk about a certain item that was found in your local Wally World, a.k.a. Walmart, a.k.a. Hood Mart. Mr. Smith, can you play the clip of Kev on stage?
Apparently, Walmart has great value Juneteenth Celebration Edition ice cream, swirled red velvet and cheesecake flavored ice cream. And this is what happens when you commercialize federal holidays. It just became a federal holiday. Now you can celebrate with this ice cream. But wait, there's more. There's all type of Juneteenth party supplies. Juneteenth wine. You got the little mask and glasses. Juneteenth banners for your fireplace. Of course, there's Celebrate Juneteenth shirts, yellow and black, and black and yellow and black and yellow. More shirts, reduced price, only $12. They got Juneteenth water bottle, big dot happiness Juneteenth Freedom Day party. Apparently, they also got a congrats officer banner in between the Juneteenth stuff. Walmart, y'all got to know the police and the blacks and celebration Juneteenth. Slavery is not the best. And I'm so upset about this. What I need Walmart to do is send me all this ice cream just so I could taste it and make sure it is wrong.
Thank you, Kev on stage. So let's give a quick timeline. So this came on my timeline about, I want to say, this past Sunday from where we're recording. And it hit the social media streets. Black Twitter and Black social media was like, what is this fuck shit? This gives me Terry Crew vibes. This gives me I Have a Black Friend vibes. This gives me We Are the World, We Are the Children, Madonna vibes. What is this? So needless to say, there was some backlash that came along with this. And fast forward a couple of days. And yeah, when you go on their website or in the stores, you are no longer able to ring it up or purchase said ice cream. Thank you, Black Twitter. I'm going to open this up to all of my my guests and everyone else on the pod. If I have any thoughts, yes, Cherie.
So if you guys didn't see the picture of the video, they said water bottles were $11.99. Now, I don't know what in the world was wrong with them, but why is water costing $11.99? Let's talk about that.
I was about to say, you worried about the right things. You worried about the right things right there. I didn't even catch that. if you talk about this cow, I'm going to cut you off this episode. Queen C, go ahead.
I'm going to make mention of it eventually, but not right now. The first thing I wanted to mention, going off of what Cherie said, the black, red, and green Juneteenth t-shirt. First off, that is the Pan-African flag. That's not Juneteenth flag colors. Juneteenth flag is red, white, and blue like the American flag. But also, it was on a white model. Don't you think if you using a black federal holiday to pander some shit, that you should at least have a black model wearing the shit?
No.
No, that makes too much sense.
Why?
But we want to be clear. We want to celebrate Juneteenth. We want to have rhythm and season our food.
They don't want season. It's too spicy.
They're going to use that mayonnaise, man. Oh, God.
They don't even use the good mayonnaise. They don't use Duke's. They use Kraft Miracle Whip.
Oh, God. It's so uncultured. Oh, God. What about the children? Oh, God. Mrs. Smith.
All right, let me wrap this up. I'm sorry, you took me out when you said, what about the children? Okay, you know, I agree with everything said on here. I'm flabbergasted that Great Value would make something like this. But the part that I want to pick up on, which a lot of people a lot of people now are starting to pick up on. If you notice, if the class will zoom in on the word
we're paying attention.
In the corner, you see a TM that stands for trademark.
Bitch, no.
Who in the hell trademarked the word Juneteenth?
It was a white man.
Because I feel like if that's true, all black people should be getting a percentage.
You would think.
We wasn't in the room. It's all white people.
Mrs. Smith, who trademarked Juneteenth? Please share it with the class.
I sure will. So there is a corporation called Balchem Corporation, who was actually the people that created the Great Value ice cream. They actually trademarked the word Juneteenth, filing it September 2nd, 2021. Wow. People, that was a little bit after they recognized that Juneteenth was going to be a federal holiday, which means those of the Caucasus Mountains, aka, as my friend would say, the wonderful people, because we can't, and when we're in a public space, you gotta, you know, code switch your words to make sure they don't know that you're talking about them.
But the non-members.
The 2025s.
Wow. Okay. I did not see that one coming. But
wow.
They decided, you know what? The thing that the black people wanted so bad, even though, to be clear,
nobody asked for it.
You know, like, yes, we wanted to celebrate it, and we sure we'll take the day off, but we wanted reparations, not this.
We were going to take that day off anyway.
I mean, we were, but you know, besides the point. But you decided, you know what they really, what we really should do? We should capitalize on the word Juneteenth and get money off of it. Now, I'm gonna do a 10% benefit of the doubt and 90% get the fuck out of here. The 10% benefit of the doubt is genius marketing on the fact that you was able to capitalize on something. The 90% was, do you not understand your race? You are not some, you already have colonized it. You are the reason that we had to have a Juneteenth in the first fucking place.
It's for black people only.
We want reparations, not lactations. Okay. And I thank you.
Ma'am.
From the cow.
You talking about me.
From the cow back here that's wearing the Kente stole and the matching hat. That's where they got the milk to make this damn Juneteenth ice cream. Johnson,
did you find this cow?
It was a meme on Facebook. They said that this is the cow that made the Juneteenth ice cream.
I am bewildered. I'm befuddled. I am so upset. Why I gotta be a black cow at that?
Exactly. I told you, he got the strength of the Black Panther.
Nancy
Pelosi.
I was getting ready to say, Brother X, it could be worse. It could be Nancy Pelosi taking a knee with a kente cloth.
You know that woman still hasn't gotten up from her knee. She do all of her press conferences over Zoom. She got the camera right here. I do support Black people. I do. I am an ally.
I can't.
I'm sorry. Cut that.
I'm not cutting.
That was funny.
Actually, that was a little much. I'm sorry.
That was good.
Needless to say, for this upcoming Juneteenth, let's actually support an actual Black business. Which, speaking of, our Black business highlight this week is actually of a Black woman-owned ice cream business called Creamalicious Ice Cream. They are actually a Black woman-owned business. Give me 1 second as I pull up the information, because I sometimes be professional. Creamalicious Ice Cream asks you to prepare yourself because of every single one of our Creamalicious chef-prepared dishes was churned to take you deep into the heart of the South, where ice cream becomes something else altogether. Something richer, creamier, and absolutely Southern, with ingredients that have been true for generations and recipes that are as sweet as the sunrise, the goodness will elevate to greatness somewhere between your first and second lick. Giggity. All right. Cut that part too. All right.
I will not.
Again, that is Creamalicious Ice Cream. For those who do not know, they're actually the ice cream brand that the other company, the Great Value brand, stole the idea of red velvet cheesecake ice cream. Isn't that correct, Queen C? All right. Thank you.
These are facts.
So they have wonderful flavors. They have Porcelain Light Peach Cobbler. They have Slap Your Mama Banana Pudding. Let me see. They have
Aunt Poonie's Caramel Pound Cake.
Grandma's Sweet Potato. Ooh, I might have to go to the store after this. I might have to go to Kroger's.
All y'all with Black mothers out there, they got Thick as Thieves Pecan Pie.
Talk about it. She's doing the Lord's work out there, man. So again, that is Creamalicious Ice Cream. Please check them out on their social media. You can find them at So Creamalicious on Instagram and on all their social media platforms. Yes, Mr. Smith.
And I just want to make sure I harp on the fact that you said it best. Great Value stole the idea of that ice cream from a Black woman. Where have I heard that before? I think it was we can't talk about critical race theory. Maybe it was, no, they don't really, I know I've heard of that before. It'll come back to me, continue.
All I know is a Black woman sells help save a lot, millions of lives.
Man, I'm talking about you doing the Lord's work. If you ain't got nothing you can bring to the cookout, bring that ice cream, man. Yeah, Sheree.
So where is this ice cream place, or where is their business located?
So as I've done my research for the podcast, not for any other reason at all, not because I'm a foodie or anything, but I'm aware that they are selling them on Kroger's, and I think you are able to order online.
Ironically enough, they sold at Walmart.
All right, we're just gonna move on. We're just gonna move on.
All right.
So listeners, we are actually going to go ahead and get into this week's topic. We're actually going to continue on, and we're going to finish in part two of our conversation from last week. If you don't remember what we talked about last week, here's a clip right here.
How do you handle when that relationship changes exactly? How do you bring up that conversation? Do you even attempt to have a conversation? Do you want to save that relationship or that friendship or whatever it is? Mm. And then if so, is it worth it?
And if you don't remember, last week we actually discussed the whole conversation of when relationships that you have, both platonic and romantic, start to change beyond your expectations of what they were going to. And how do you kind of deal with that? The coach of scientists brought up an excellent point that you heard in the clip, that where it's like, when you get to the point in this whole conversation of, you recognize the change in the relationships, you recognize all these things, you start to ask yourself certain questions. So coach of scientists, do you remember that question?
Yeah, is it you? Is it me? How do I approach this? Is this relationship important enough for me to continue to even deal with whatever I'm dealing with? Because it's really a one of those types of is it me, is it you, and do I want to disrupt my peace? Is this for my peace? Is it for the betterment? It's all these types of things that start roaming around.
And I think what we wanted to do in this second part of the conversation was to help give you guys some determining factors and thoughts on how do you actually determine where's the worth and where's the value in these relationships. So I know I'll start off with me. When it comes to those type of relationships, I have to recognize not only what is the potential of what is the value of the relationship now, but where is it in the future? Is this going to get me to that next level of where I'm trying to be at, both from an emotional, mental, social standpoint? Is this going to edify my life or is it going to break it down? And honestly, a lot of times, if you really think about it, are you really trying to save the relationship because you don't want to make new friends, you don't want to find a new partner, or are you, I don't know what's the word for it. It's, if you're not trying to have those things, you have to be able to recognize that sometimes you have to let something go because it has long served its purpose. You're here for a reason, here for a reason and a season. I think it's the term, and I apologize if I don't say the expression correctly.
We have a bad habit sometimes as humans to keep, we as humans have this, I don't know, this false sense of control. And we want to control the relationship. We have to A, accept that those relationships don't necessarily, are not going to be in control. You're not going to be able to have control. And one way to handle it is the only thing you can control is how you feel about it and how you go about speaking to a person and addressing the issue. And right, that is really the most important part, because it doesn't necessarily matter if a person, if the other person doesn't want to, yes, it plays a part, but really, how do you feel?
Because ultimately, you only have control over you in the situation. Because even if you do all the things right, we're going to be talking about in this discussion, if the other person isn't willing to do the work or doesn't see the same value in it, you basically bang your head against a wall for no reason. So Queen C or anybody else, do you guys have any thoughts on how you kind of determine whether it's worth saving?
Yeah, I can go. Because we were discussing the fallout between myself and Brother X a few years back. For me, I knew that I would need to be the person to be the approacher when it came time to reconcile and see if the friendship was worth saving, because I was the person who initiated the separation. But I knew that it would be worth saving based off how it ended, which was put my big girl panties on, had a big girl discussion, reached out to him, was like, hey, you know, it's a lot going on. I don't think our friendship is working the way it should be for either of us. And I just need to take a step back. Like, I don't know if we can reconcile or not, what have you, but I just need to do me for a minute. Typically, when that happens, whether it's a friendship, relationship, some type of family issue, most of the time people are going to reject that separation. They're going to try to fight. Like, why are you trying to leave? Why aren't you staying? He didn't fight. Let me tell y'all something. Brother X is probably one of the most selfless people I know. In the instant where he realized I needed space, he said, I'm going to respect your decision. I'm not going to fight you on it. If you need me, know I am still here for you. You don't get that a lot. Those are people who really do love you unconditionally, and they want the best for you. But you have to evaluate these things. Sometimes you've just outgrown the relationship. Sometimes you just need space so that you can grow as an individual. All a relationship is, it's a group of individuals, a pair of individuals. You have to be in tune, like Cat Williams said, with your star player. That's you. If your relationship with yourself ain't right, you're not going to be able to connect with somebody else. So I would say, you know, just if you're at those crossroads, take a little time, actually think through things, not where you've been, But like Brother X said, and like other people have said on the podcast, what does the future of this look like? Is this something that is important? Is it conducive to my growth? Is it conducive to their growth? There's a lot of different factors.
I agree with that. I know for me, I struggle a lot with wanting to speak up and respecting the other person's like space and knowing, being respectful, going into the conversation, perhaps saying, hey, I know there might be a lot going on right now. Do you think we can have a discussion about our friendship? Nothing, I mean, what is, I don't see the issue with actually saying those words. Let's talk about our friendship. But we as humans, we don't tend to do that. We're not going to do that. We're going to go the opposite way. At least I think so. At least most people, they're not going to point blank say those exact words.
Well, I guess my question is why, and this goes to everybody, like, why do we as human beings do that? Like, why do we, once we know we need to have those conversations, what blocks us from getting to that point? Mr. Smith?
Is exactly how we came up with this segment for the month, for this month. Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. And uncomfortability is where you grow the most. Mm-hmm. If you know, in a sports reference, if Michael Jordan didn't get cut from his high school team, he may not have been uncomfortable enough to become the greatest player ever in the history of basketball. And in that same aspect, if you are lulled into a sense of comfortability, you may not be able to grow into what will be, what could be your greatest potential. You might just be stuck in the, you know, oh, well, I'm good right where I'm at, so I'm going to sit in this pocket. But when you sit in this pocket, there might be more to life that you're missing out on because you want to sit in this pocket. And in relationship stake, there could be somebody that's just doing the bare minimum and you know something is off, but your comfortability is keeping you from saying, hey, let's try to push this forward to the next level. And instead it's, well, we're good where we are right now, so I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to rock the boat. So I feel like a lot of people just don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations. And hell, I'm sometimes guilty of that myself. But in doing so, when you have those uncomfortable conversations, those uncomfortable times, you kind of get a chance to determine and grow from what you, what the situation is. And in turn, it could be worse or it could be better, but it's like, you never know unless you try.
That's real. Sheree, did you have something?
I kind of have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I found myself in a situation where I was the friend that would offer the help to the person that didn't want to have the uncomfortable conversation, right?
Okay.
And I tried to create a safe space, but she or said person did not allow me in. So when it comes to those type of situations, how do you handle those? Do you give them space and then try to reconcile afterwards? Or do you just let it go?
I'm really big on speaking peace. And my advice is you said what you needed to say. You provided the space, you offered it to her. So you can walk away saying, I'm done what I could do. And if she comes back, great, cool. You might not be ready to, but she, whoever that person is in general, will have to be okay with when they're ready to come back. You might not be ready for whatever they might be offering. And it is something that, unfortunately, to deal with those type of situations, my humble opinion is say your piece and move forward and let life go forward from there. And what happens will happen. Because your peace, again, I'm really big into protecting your peace a lot. That's like my theme for my 30s is protect your peace 1000. Okay, listen. So I have a current situation where I have not been able to say my piece to this particular person. And it's bothering me. But I'm also to the point where I'm over it, but it's not going to be over because there's more steps that are going to happen and there's other situations that are going to influence this. So I might be over it, but other people aren't going to be over it. And I have to deal with that part. But then I have another person who I've accepted we're never going to have a conversation. She's not going to talk to me. She's not gonna, she's not, she's, there's like a slight crack in the window enough to be like, hey, how are you? And that's about it. Like, but it is what it is. And that's because I don't like how she handled the situation.
Mm. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Smith.
The biggest thing that culture scientists said in there is you can walk away saying, I did what I could do. A lot of people that are in their 20s are going to always try to say what we were always taught. Oh, well, we can solve it by doing this, 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 and this. And they're going to keep pushing to solve. But as you get older, you realize that a lot of that energy and time, what they didn't teach us and what they didn't teach us when we were younger is you can get energy back. You can get money back. You can't get time back. And so the time that you expend on trying to resolve the situation, if that person is not ready, one, it's not, you can't force them, but then two, you, as the coach of science said, you can say, look, I gave you the arena for you to go ahead and come forward. Whether you choose to do that or not is up to you. Mm-hmm. My dad had a saying, and I am not calling her friend this because I know how listeners might be, oh, you's an asshole. No, it's just a saying. You can lead a horse to the water, but you cannot make them drink it.
Ugh, my daddy said that too, recently too. And the other one of my favorite, God takes care of fools and children.
I like that one. That's a real one. Yeah. But you know, so like, again, she may not be ready. And as the culture scientist said, when she's ready, either you may not be ready, you might be ready, or you might be like, all right, I'm past that. I'm moving and doing me. You know, we wheeling and dealing, like, that's on you. You got to take care of that. Because at the end of the day, like she said, you could walk away and say, I ain't got no regrets. I just said what I needed to say. Mm-hmm. You got to handle that now. Right. So that'd be my answer for that.
Quincy?
As somebody who has constantly offered their help to other people when asked, I'm a 100% agree with the culture scientist. One, protect your peace, but also realize that just because someone tells you what their issue is, does not mean you have to take it as your own issue. Yes. It is their issue. To me, it sounds like your friend is just at the very beginning, which is the recognition phase of, hey, something's off here. And they're using you to talk through it. And you're like, okay, well, you know, I can provide a safe space for you, et cetera, et cetera. Leave the offer open, mm-hmm. but protect your peace. And if she's not accepting the open offer now, just let them know the offer still stands whenever you are ready. But you still got to continue on your own journey, your own path. You got your own issues. You have your own growth to worry about, your own progress. Don't make their issue your issue, because yeah. I am guilty of that. That is the quickest way to a mental breakdown. Trust me, don't do it.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. And I think one thing to continue the conversation is that you have to learn to be at peace when things are left unsaid or unfinished. Mm. The hardest part of any conversation when you do recognize this is not a relationship that is worth saving or worth trying to fix is learning that when you have done everything you can to, like, hey, I've had this conversation, all the things they've already said, and that person A, doesn't give you a response, B, doesn't give you a satisfactory response to give you all the answers that you may feel that you need, but that's all they're willing to give, you have to recognize that sometimes things are going to be left with no bookend, no closure. Closure is one of those things where it's like, it's nice, but you can't expect it. Because people don't operate and move the same way where it comes that way. And if you can learn to be okay with things being left unfinished.
I'm not there yet.
It's hard. And trust me, there are relationships and people that I just learned how to do it 1 or 2 years ago. But because I try to keep my circle very small, because I'm a very loyal person and I try to take care of all my peoples and make sure they're good. There are certain relationships and friendships that I'm like, it's okay that I never speak to this person again. Does it hurt? Is it unfortunate? Is it sad? Would it be cool if we had this type of relationship? Yeah, but if it's not there, I took whatever lesson God has given to me in that space to be like, you've learned the lesson. Now take that to your next friendship or your next relationship. Lord knows I had to learn that the hard way multiple times in my romantic relationships before I met the culture scientist. Hell, I'm still learning those lessons now. Bruh. And we about to get married. Bruh. That's life, man. It's an ongoing process.
Ongoing learning.
Yes. Kwesi?
I would like to piggyback off of you about the idea of closure. Because when you're younger, you think, oh, closure means we have to sit down and talk about what happened and, you know, understand it from each other's viewpoint, blah, blah, blah. Different situations,
right.
Different types of closure. Closure looks different, not just for each individual, but each individual situation. Mr. Smith and I, and like I said, we've been friends 14 years. About a year into our friendship, he and I had a situation that impacted us both. It was some real fucked up shit. I'm not even going to describe the situation. However, the closure from that situation didn't come from the individuals that trespassed against us. I'll say it that way. Mm-hmm. It came from a third party who had insight into what happened. That's how we got our answers for those lingering questions after the fact, and closed that book. It was like, okay, that's what it was. Cool. Move on.
Yeah.
But again, like Brother X said, you're not always going to have that. No. You could try to be the bigger person, reach out, say, you know, hey, if you're in the mental mind space, because you have to think about the other person, you may be ready to talk, but they may not be ready. Just extend the offer. Hey, whenever you have the mental capacity, I would love to have a conversation. Right. I would love to get some closure. We don't have to go through all the details. I just have some questions I would love answered. If you have questions for me that you would like answered, I am open and willing to give you a response. If that conversation happens, great. If it doesn't, you've at least grown to the point where you acknowledge that, hey, I did what I needed to do. If they're not ready to do what they need to do on their end, that is no longer my issue.
Right.
And you can move forward from it.
Yeah. So, and I want to make sure that we do at least take some time before we close out this episode to talk about what on the positive end, what if we do decide it is worth saving? I think one of the things that I've learned with those situations is that not only do you have to recognize the value in the relationship, but you also have to learn that after a certain point, if there is some wrong or harm done, you have to let it go and let it be a past action. One of the biggest mistakes that you hear people talk all the time about is you always throwing my past back in my face. Now, there is a difference from throwing something in someone's face about their past and holding them accountable to make sure that they are trying to do better than what they were previously doing. And it just breaks down to accountability. Me and you have had a conversation saying, hey, you struggle with communicating in a timely fashion about X, Y, and Z. In order for this relationship to grow and to continue, I need you to do better in these areas. And then when it doesn't happen, hey, we had a conversation and we both said we understood that in order for this relationship to be beneficial to the both of us, you were going to do this, or I was going to do this in return to make sure that you have the space to be accountable and to make mistakes, but to make mistakes in trying to improve. And now that you are not upholding your end of the bargain, we need to revisit this conversation. And sometimes it's weird to say, but it's almost like a negotiation. You're going into an agreement with another person where you're like, okay, I agree to do this in this relationship to make it work. I'm going to be more understanding. I'm not going to talk over you as much. I'm not going to yell at you. And in return, I need for you to be more open about your feelings, more open about what is bothering you, actually saying what's on your mind, because people aren't mind readers. These are all things that you have to negotiate with this person, because you are trying to build a connection with this person, even when it's not a relationship. A friendship takes just as much negotiation a lot of times as a romantic relationship, because if you're honest, most romantic relationships should probably start as a friendship and grow from there. But I don't know if people are ready for that conversation. So does anyone else have any like positive ways or ways to, what are any next steps if it is worth saving? Mr. Smith?
It depends on your friendship, but there's two ways where you can have the conversation for if it's something worth saving. If you got a friendship like me and Brother X and Culture Scientists and Queen C, it's like, yo, let me holler at you. We, you know, just got something on my mind. Let's hash this out right quick. And even though, I applaud Brother X and Queen C, because when they have to ask me something, they will ask me, hey, are you in the headspace for me to ask you this thing first? Because we all realize as we get older, just because I'm going through something, they may not be in the headspace because they may be going through something. We are all human. We all have stuff that we are going through. Some people just don't announce it. So being able to ask that question first kind of sets the table and say, okay, if not, we can, you know, talk about it a little bit later. And then secondly, if you don't have that conversation, and hey, sometimes it's like, yo, you want to go out or let's just catch up, whatever, and then just ease into the conversation. Don't just straight up, I'm mad at you. You did this. Let's just say, hey, so I just want to run some things by you and just see how you felt. And let's just, you know, I'm not trying to attack you or anything. I just want to figure out like, hey, I want to see where your head was at. And let's just talk about it. Being able to make it so there's not a debate or a defensive conversation takes a lot of things off, and it makes it a lot easier for people to really talk about how they feel. So that would be my suggestion.
I want to point out, I think one of the benefits, if it comes full circle for you, such as Brother X and Queen C, if it's able to come back full circle, you get to enjoy who you are now, or who each person is now. And you get to learn lessons from those people. And I feel like that's the benefit of being able to grow with a person, because you help each other grow and you help better each other. And that's what makes it worth it in the long run. And those are like one of the benefits. It might not be an easy road, but if you are willing to do the work and put the work in and forgive and let go, it could be a beautiful addition to your life.
Yep.
I 100% agree with everything Mr. Smith said and with what the culture scientist just said. And again, as somebody who's had to do this, I will also be mindful of the statements that you are making and be very well in tune to the statements that the other person is making. Mm. Are you all making I statements, taking accountability for your own actions, or are you making you statements? You did this. You need to apologize. You need to do that. Because part of the dissolution of mine and Brother X's friendship was that we were making you statements. Well, you don't need to know that. Well, you were supposed to tell me this. Well, this, you. No, we took time away. We grew as individuals. We matured. We came back. That was a completely different conversation. Same topic, same, you know, opinions, completely different conversation, just based off the fact that, yes, I acknowledge I did this and I apologize and I will be better. And I still love you as a friend, as a person, et cetera, et cetera. Not everybody is going to be at that place yet. It's such hard work, but if the relationship is worth saving, the work is worth it. Anything worth saving is worth the work, and the work needs to be put in.
Yeah, Sheree?
To bring it back to kind of full circle, like Brother X, Culture Scientist, Queen C, and Mr. Smith all kind of said in the last episode, so to speak, how like time plays a big part in friendships. I've noticed with like another personal side, with time, I feel like gives growth, gives like space to be able to grow and to be, become, how do you say, like wiser, or, you know, learn from certain mistakes or whatnot. So I could find myself a person I wasn't particularly close to in the past, I've gotten really close to with time. So let's say, for instance, in middle school or so, we weren't talking, we were high and by, but through time we got closer, we reconnected, and now we're really good friends. So I feel like time really plays a big part in determining whether the relationship is worth saving, because like you guys say, as you guys get older, you know, time passes, so many different things happen in between there that shapes and molds you guys to become who you guys are. So I think time really plays an extremely big part in it. So that's what I wanted to say.
Awesome. All right, Quincy, last part.
I was just going to completely agree with what Cherie just said. So Cherie doesn't know, but everybody else on the podcast knows our friend Sweet Savage. That is someone I've known since we were girls. We were 9, 10 years old when we first met, fourth graders. And over time, that relationship changed. Us now, thick as thieves. Ask about us in high school. Completely different story. Because we are so similar, we were at each other's necks. Like, it was not pretty. But time, growth, maturity. One day we're all sitting around because we have same common core group of friends, agreeing with everything the other person is saying. That's how we just sat there and looked at each other and was like, and why don't we get along? Girl, I don't know. Let's go on vacation. It doesn't always work like that though. But I would say for my final piece of any relationship you have, there are two that are going to be the most important. The first one is whatever relationship you have with your higher power. I'm not saying it from a religious standpoint, but a spiritual standpoint. It could be God, it could be Buddha, it could be the universe, whatever. You need to make sure that that relationship is good and firm, because that is your guiding light. That is going to set you on your path, on your journey, and, you know, let you know what your purpose in life is. The second relationship, and the most important one, I said it before, the relationship you have with yourself. How do you expect to connect to other people, to build relationships, for people to get to know you if you don't know yourself? Those are the basis for all other relationships. Establish those, work on those, make sure they are firm. If you got to revisit some things, revisit it. It's fine. We're human. But make sure those are solid before you go forward with anything else.
Awesome. Great stuff, guys. I think that's a good place to end this conversation for now. Obviously, we could go on for hours talking about this, but I want our transparent moment tonight and for this episode, for today to be that take some time. Listen back over this series and listen through these different conversations. And I want you to try to think about some of the parallels or the connecting threads that kind of all go together through these different discussions. And then if you really, really want to get the full gravity of it, if you're only listening to this part first, I don't know how you missed part one, but we're not worried about that. Please go back and listen to part one and then listen to part two again. One, to help run up our numbers, but honestly, you're going to get so much more weight to the conversation from what we're talking about now and where it started at. Because I think this is great dialogue, and we had a lot of different perspectives from different ranges from both sides of it. So just take some time to reflect on those things. And if you actually have any thoughts or suggestions or some other series or things that you want to discuss, you can always contact us on our social media at The TNT Pod 123 on Twitter. You can contact us at Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And you can always email us with your thoughts, feelings, and opinions, your ice cream recommendations at Truth and Transparency Pod 123 at gmail.com. For our guests, for Mr. Smith, for the Coach of Scientists, we thank you guys for being a part of these conversations. We love you guys. Everyone is in our prayers and thoughts. Continue to be good people. Do some good. Leave the earth better than you found it. And if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, I'm sorry, Coach Sanchez.
I was going to say, remember, at the core, we are all human, first and foremost.
That's very true. So, and if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, my guests are forever grateful. My co-hosts and my sound engineers are forever grateful. Our fans and supporters are forever grateful. Just be good people, man. That's all I got to say. Be good people. We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Black cows matter.